All right, welcome to Office Hours. It is about to be 4 p.m. It's not quite 4 p.m., but like, whatever, 40 seconds early, we're fine. This is the AMA section where I ask you your questions about Resonate. I do see a lot of people dropping in right now, but if you've got more people that you want to invite in or show in, do get them in. You can ask questions in the questions thread. That is linked in the Office Hours general text chat and in the chat for this stage. I'll answer them in the order that they appear, and we'll get started as soon as we've got questions. But do you see the first question from Lex, who says, in regards to yesterday, do you think the team will add or change April Fool's gimmicks in Resonate in the future? Most likely. Frix is usually the one to program them. I personally wouldn't program anything April Fool's related. I have adopted the policy that Microsoft has, which is April Fool's jokes have more legal liability and financial liability than they should, so we don't do them. And so throughout my entire time at Microsoft, April Fool's was sort of off the table. No one could do it. And that was a directive from the chief legal officer. He's just like, the risk for like miscommunication, misunderstanding, and lost revenue is just too high. And it's a stupid holiday anyway. Like, that's my personal opinion. But like, if the team want to do some cool stuff, they can. Moving forwards to another question. Is there an Android build somewhere? I saw someone made an iOS build. I don't think there's an iOS build, and there is not currently an official Android build that is compatible with the latest edition. There you go. An Android build is somewhere on our roadmap. I don't think an iOS build is, but hey, never say never. We do have a couple of people on the team now that have Vision Pros, so maybe they'll take a look at them and get iOS via via the Vision Pro. X of the Wicker says, "What happened to Rafe? Rafe left the team." That's all I can tell you. If you want more information, you can ask Wraith, or that's it. Getting it to work on Vision OS would be crazy. Yeah, it would be crazy. I'm multi-boxing Resonate today to test some networking stuff for some more, and it's just got to the point where I need a laptop, right? I need an additional IP address just to validate my fixes, because I don't understand what's going on. Svecken was very nice to send me some old Optiplex machines that I'm going to turn into like a server cluster for my apartment. At that point, it should be a lot easier for me to run multiple copies of Resonate. It's just, it's really annoying. It's like, I alt tab, and it's like, which copy am I in? Who am I? Which log file am I looking at? All right, now what's happening, which is because some of the networking stack on Resonate uses UDP, in particular UDP unconnected messages or broadcast messages, everything's just yelling at each other because it's all on the same computer. So the host, the guest, and the network nodes are all on the same computer, and it doesn't like that. So I'm going to try and fix that up. Electronicus says, there's been confusion regarding the future of the headless build. I've heard it set to be free for all future. Others apparently said it will stay paid. Would you mind clearing that up? It'll stay paid for now. Every beta feature has the opportunity to become a non-beta feature. Headless being a beta feature is a personal pet peeve of mine, but it's something that we don't have time as a team to discuss right now, so it's just being status quo. The reason why it's a beta feature is because it's beta. It's even more beta than regular Resonate. We want to get to the point in the future where we have a more hardy, dedicated server system where you can, achieve more and operate on something. Like, I'm sure there's probably game server providers that are doing this already, but I wouldn't blame them if they didn't run headless sessions over in their game server infrastructure. There's just a couple of like ehs and ehs where we got to keep it at the current state where it is. It's not a decision either one way or the other. But do know that headless servers is not the end all for headlessing on Resonate. I should make a like page on the wiki for that. I hate when people are like, I've got some confusion. It's like, well, just like ask, which is what Electronics did, to be fair. But sometimes people don't ask. They're like, I heard this from here and that from there and this from there. It's like, Yeah, I don't think it'll be paid for like until the end of the universe. It'll just be paid for the foreseeable future, simply because we are a limited engineering capacity. Easton said a long rambling message that basically has two features that we haven't implemented in it. I will read it for the benefit of the recording, though. Easton says, I really hope the headless gets fixed up in the future. Please list issues that you're having with the headless, and I'll make sure that they're logged and get them resolved. And then they give an example of a feature, which is Especially if it's for the same machine you're playing on. My issue for host transferring got closed and running a headless server isn't very user friendly at all. For example, you need a separate machine. It's preferred Linux running on some sort of server from where it's not available for basically any user. Corrections. You do not need Linux. Correction number two. You do not need a separate computer. I do recommend a separate computer, but you don't need a separate computer. Correction three. Even if you did want to use Linux, you could use Windows Subsystem for Linux or a Docker container on Windows to run your machine on Windows. There's a full guide on how to use Docker for headlesses over on the wiki, it's great. However, if you're just running a single world, I don't recommend Docker. I just recommend you run the EXE. For those having issues with like Steam or stuff like that, just make a second Steam account and then run it from a different area on your computer. Done. Host transferring is still something that we want to do. If it got closed, it should have been closed and redirected to a run appropriate issue. If it wasn't, then that would be an issue. Red says there's an EXE. Yes, most Windows applications run an EXE. For our Linux variants of various items, they just output a file which has no extension. Eastern host transferring and headless host are completely separate features that are disjuncted, like completely disjuncted. Because if you have a headless, you wouldn't host transfer because you'd be on the headless host. There's no need to apologize. I want to correct the misunderstanding. Like, if you have a headless like server, you don't need to do host transferring. Host transferring is I'm going to bed, can someone else take over host, and then we transfer the host to them. It's not anything to do with headlesses. Amira, yeah, you can ask whatever you want. If I can't answer it, I'll let you know I can't answer it. The name's in the cache table. If I download the same texture, it'll be named the same. I'm going to answer this two ways. The first way is to say, don't touch our cache. I mean, you can if you want, of course, but you're going to have fun. Like, our cache is our cache, and it's a cache, right? The two things that as a user you're meant to be able to do with it are delete it or move it. But beyond that, it's just like a gigantic collection of files that are cached. And so I don't think I can assume anything from that. The second answer there being, possibly if their checksum is there. I don't know what we use for checksum asset. System isn't in my didgeridoo right now. Yeah, like there's lots of things we can do for headlessing, particularly if you're not using Docker or any of the complicated stuff like that. It's literally just like run the exe of a config file. I'd love to understand where the confusion is. Like, I get like JSON's difficult, etc. Maybe we can like output a better default config file into the headless branch. That might be something we can look into. I'd also like to see if we can maybe like validate the config.json before we start up FruitsEngine. Because once FruitsEngine starts up and it starts doing all the logging, it becomes difficult to read. But if we like validated the config before we started up FruitsEngine, we could be like, yo, we're not even going to start up FruitsEngine because we know that this is going to fail because you made a mistake here. Mira says, when it comes to the skin mesh emitter, is there a way to direct a particle to fire out of the direction face is facing or face normal? I think so. I haven't looked at this myself, but I do have the code base open. So it's a control T away. Comes from the meta mesh. Yeah, if you set the mesh emission space, that's a very difficult thing, also known as direction mode, if you set that to tangent space, you should do that, I think. There's of course me like taking a look like at code, but yeah, there we go. I'd love to be doing anything other than what I'm doing right now, but I'm almost there, I think. I'm gonna move like half the network stack to my laptop and then see if that works. And then I'm going to direct message some people who live close by and can give me a lift to the post office later. That's where Svacken's machines are. And I will fix this problem in the future as well. Like, I'll make it so that, like, at least for me, there's a way where I can just hit a button and, like, run all this stuff. It's difficult as well because, like, everything's a debug build. Like, everything is just, like, debug everywhere. There's, like, logging messages which are, like, silly because they just need to be there. If you're posting a bug report, I'll take care of on the bug report. It's problematic when I split the information source, so check it on the bug report. I don't know. A snap target is sitting on receiver surface. The receiver overrides the snap. I mean, you can't have an item that's both snappable and receivable. You can probably do that. It might just be like colliders. Hlindvis says, any chance we could get the PDB in XML files for extension? The XML files would be not useless, but close to useless, because most of our stuff doesn't have the appropriate comments on there. We are getting better, and every time we touch stuff we add stuff there, but like the vast majority of stuff still does not have it. However, for the PDB, we have, yeah, like this issue would be the closest one. Yeah, I'm still saying colliders on that receiver surface issue. Let me look into receiver surface. Yeah, because it just is a receiver. Got it. Yep. Does snapping occur before or after this? I don't remember where snap targeting happened. Anyway, let me look, see if there's any additional questions. Interesting. Sorry, I haven't looked at snappers in quite a while. Oh, we have another question here. Guys, can we keep the non-question chat down a little bit? I appreciate, Red, for example, that you're booting your computer, but maybe put that in a different channel. I appreciate the Helldivers conversation, but maybe put that in another channel. Keep it as close to questions as you can. Thank you. I will jump up to that one. Lex linked it. There we go. In relation to particles, is there a way to have the particle face the direction it's going? Here's how I work with particles. I edit the particle system till it looks how I want, and I do that like a monkey on a typewriter. I'm just like, I wonder what happens if I set this to 4, and then suddenly the particle starts looking right, and I dial it in. I'm like, okay, maybe not 4, let's try 2.5, and I just do that for every property. So I haven't even looked into what particles are, how they work, or anything like that. So unfortunately, I don't. I've come to know that there's really only a couple of particle types that you need as well. There's snow, which rain also works for rain, also works for ash, but it's basically just circles in your vision, right? There's fire or stuff like fire, which is just a localized source of particles, and there's guns. Those are the ones I see. There is trails, but I'm not a sort of person who would ever use trails. So, Electronus says feature you personally want added. Right now I don't know. My brain is too frazzled by what I'm currently doing. I do want a bug fix though. I would love a bug fixed. I don't even know if it's a bug. I just something's happening, and I it's very frustrating. Where are we? Yes, this one. Nuki, that question I don't know how to answer, and it's not useful anyway. I hope that didn't sound bad or anything. It's just that question isn't you shouldn't as a developer, you shouldn't worry about you shouldn't, in terms of interaction and the basic components that you're using, you shouldn't have to worry about frames. If you're doing advanced physics calculations, sure, knock yourself out. But if it's a snapper and a snap target, shouldn't worry about frames. Shouldn't matter at all. I'm gonna just skip that question given current circumstances. But yeah, I'll be fine. I'm just gonna shove a bunch of stuff on my laptop and figure it out. Could really do with my desk being larger and not covered in food. But, I'll sort it out. Still taking a look at the snap target thing. It might just be the lack of my looking in this in form of released objects. Snap. Yeah, that's what I need. One of you snapping. Proxy sphere contact and try snap. Cool. Trichina says, I don't know if they don't have any specific questions, but could we get away with a few random, not commonly known fact about Resonite? Pass. There are interesting facts, I just can't think of any right now. So the abstract, I'll try and explain, seeing as there's no questions for a bit. So most grabbable systems use interfaces to sort of register their events, which makes it really easy. But it turns out that I've just completely forgotten what snappers do. I thought snappers did one thing. I thought they were part of that system. Maybe the snapper component is. I'm looking at the snapper snap target. Grab event receiver. There we go. That's what I was looking for. There we go. Kazi, thank you for the questions about kiosk mode. So kiosk mode. Last I used it should work. What kind of mode is kiosk mode? As far as I remember, kiosk mode prevents you from changing worlds. I don't remember if it prevents the dash, but there's the no UI setting, which will also prevent the dash. So just try both of those at the same time. It's basically designed for, let's say you have a shortcut for Resonite, and that shortcut will open Resonite and go straight to a world, like an event world or an experience world, or maybe it'll start a session. That's what kiosk mode is for, right? You'd get to the event, and on the day of the event, you'd set up the computer in the event hall or whatever, and you'd double click on the desktop shortcut, which said Prime's Cheese Experience VR, right? And then the Resonite would run for the entirety of the day on just that session, configured the way that the shortcut works with kiosk mode, so no one can escape it, etc. And passersby would put on their headset, etc. That's what we mean by kiosk. I don't remember if it works, so I haven't tried it in years. Holadinus says, are you planning on changing the haptic systems a lot? I'm working on some stuff with it and a haptic vest. I'm looking forward to completely. If you're using our existing haptics components, yes. Forward compatibility is, it's not guaranteed, but it's pretty given if you're using our haptic components. If you're doing anything hacky, like mods or plugins, it has the same guarantee as everything else, which is no. But if you're using those components in your creations, then sure. I've got a brand new feature request, which is probably part of the settings you work, which is just mute the audio in the local home. I spend a lot of time listening to it. And sometimes I realize I don't even realize I'm listening to it. But then I'm just like, I should turn it off. Take a look at Chaos Mode, try it out. If you have any issues, open up some bug reports. We'll take a look. It is a lower used feature, and it's one of those business features, but it should work at a basic level, at least. Otherwise, that's a bug. Electron is talking about hacky and the hairdryer in Essentials. That isn't actually hacky. That's a good use case of stuff in an unintended way. Pretty sure that meets the example that's given a lot from, you know, the two different ways of doing things. So if you want to make like a gun that pushes people back, there is like two ways to do that. One is you use the physics nodes and apply some impulses or force. I never remember which. And the second one is the Neolander's way or the Gearbell way, which is push a cube that's got a character collider on it at until they're pushed away. Sometimes they combine that cube with like a character force field component. And then that does all the maths for them, right? All they have to do is positioning it, and positioning it is very easy and there's no physics stuff. Yeah, character control is an interesting one. We keep getting like people asking for rigid body physics, and then we have to tell them like, hey, kind of have it with the character controller, but not really. And then sometimes that message is received, and sometimes it's not. Which is why I'm glad we have that message in the component that talks about it. That's good. Easton asks, speaking of which, is that warning generic that you can add to any component? I think I made it generic when we started using it for more than one component. Let me see what I did. I already use this iCustom Inspector, which is fine. I can't remember anything right now. Build Inspector UI, here it is. Yeah, it's not generic right now, but it could be made generic. We probably wouldn't expose it to, I mean, it would be naturally exposed to plugins, but yeah, we could make it generic. Kazu asks basically about offline or standalone or no network support. That is something which has fallen behind, and we need to look at more in the future. I think there might be an issue for it, but if there isn't any issue for it, please make one. Just call it like offline, like no network. Make it very clear in the issue. Internet connection not connected, Resin Knight work, ? Because it doesn't. You're right. Draconis has a question. Watch an old tutorial of yours making a seat. This particular seat may vertically move up and down while you're sitting it. An odd behavior I noticed at your hip, despite being provided a target, seems to not follow the seat and leaves you buried inside the object. What would one do to resolve that? Curse at the anchor system. I'm sure there's just something I don't understand, but every time I try and make an anchor, something goes wrong. And so I always just ask the nearest person, where's the nearest seat that you used? Where's the last seat that you used? I'll use that one, because that one's bound to be correct, because I have no idea what's going on. I'm sure it's just a like understanding gap, though, so I'll take a look when I can. Electronus, we don't need the .NET update for rigid bodies. We also probably don't need the data model really work. But like, it's again, you gotta remember that like sometimes there are dependencies. So like collections being dependent on JSON processing, that's a dependency. But sometimes there's dependencies and just like there's only three engineers and we're very busy. So yeah, Frux is typing, so we'll see what they say. Nuki talks about building textures from smaller parts. Yes, that will be added with the texture DSP program for Protoflux. I'll get you the issue for that one now. Texture. Maybe DSP will get it. Yes, texture DSP system. Yes. There's the issue for that one. Calibre is asking about being stuck. Yeah, just push F5. I know this is a bad experience, but you can also just restart Resonite if you're really confused. It's like a nuclear option, but it'll get you to where you need to go. One day I want to like, because like we have a difficulty like giving them a roadmap. I do have the wiki page for the roadmap, but that's sort of like what we're working on now. But there is like a, I don't want to call it a roadmap because people then like start assigning timelines to it. But there is like a like codependency, dependency, interrelationness chart that sort of talks about the sort of the future and how we're trying to get. And that might be useful just to follow it around from not a time perspective, from just a like prerequisite thing. I also don't want to call it a flowchart because a flowchart implies that there's a linear order going through it. There isn't a linear order. The order will be disrupted by incoming work or what you guys say. So it's like it's almost like a skill tree for Resonite, if that makes sense, where each skill tree node needs different resources and those need to be bought on the microtransaction store. And the currency that you need to buy those microtransaction items is engineering time. Right? So, sweat, blood, tears, yeah. That's why it's like, it's not quite like a flowchart. It's, you know, if you could just see like in a diagram, for example, like collections, arrow, JSON support, right? It might help because you'll be able to sort of trace it back. Okay, I want this, but I need this instead, or I need to look at this, or here's the details about this. I might just try and make it. We've got like mermaid support. It will help, like, but it's got to be very clear. It's not time. It's just sort of like logic and reason. But I hope the skill tree analogy that helped. There is no diagram currently. I'll make one though, that people want one. Yeah, I'm really scared by networking physics. Like, I see how many shooter games we have, you know, out in the wild as games now. And it's just like, all of these games are like, I don't know how they do it. Well, I know in theory how they do it, but like, I want to just like take a look at end to end one of the most popular FPS games and see like how, like when a bullet happens, show me everything that happens to make, you know, to figure out, does that hit someone? I would love that. Like, I know at some point someone does a raycast, but like, it's just, it's a, you know, I can see like a, there's probably like tutorials for how to make like a basic multiplayer shooter, but like, I need to see how the industry people are doing it just because like, I want to be amazed. Amira says, speaking of desktop controls, this plans to add a universal control node for Protofox, one that would allow cross-functionality between desktop and VR. Standard controller. That's our intended use case, anyway. I'm aware that standard controller doesn't have some items, but if it doesn't have an item, it's because we can't standardize that into standard controller. No, Nuki, the item that you're after is literally that issue I linked to. It'll be a Protofox-only system. You can do like complex overlaying, but you need transparency in that, or you need channel specific colors, right? So you could combine like an RGB image into an RGB channeled image. That's done. Amira, put your feedback into a GitHub issue for enhancement or whatever, and we'll take a look at it. I don't particularly know what that means, just by that one message though. We are over time now, so I'm going to go ahead and say no more questions. No more questions. Brooks is typing, so we'll wait for the recording's sake to see what they've put up there. Yeah, I do see a lot of people doing that as well. So Fruk says, standard controller should already send proper primary secondary events for desktop, and it does. I've used it before. Most built-in systems designed for VR desktop agnostic as much as possible, which allows for cross-function. A lot of the times I see people not using those systems and writing their own solutions, making some things only work on desktop or VR. Yes, and I'm looking at you, MMC. Like, for next year's MMC, test your entry with multiple users, mixed VR and desktop users, and you should be fine. But we'll leave off there. I know I'm behind on getting these recordings, so they'll be there as soon as I get this current issue resolved, and then I'll get them sorted. There'll be no office hours from me for the next 2 weeks, so look forward to seeing me at some point towards the end of April. I'll update the dates in the Discord eventy calendar thingy, and I'll also update the time, because it looked like Daylight Savings completely deleted the 4 p.m. slot, which is where it should be. Because for those who are unaware, like, daylight savings are now in sync. Like, everyone should be on the same offset that they were before daylight savings madness started. So it should all be in sync again. So 4 p.m. should be the same time with you guys again now. It wasn't for 2 weeks, but that's because the US and the EU can't decide on when to apply daylight savings, and it makes a problem for 2 weeks. Anyway, I will speak to you guys later. Bye-bye.